Well, hey, you know, that was fun, and it also just settles, if you have any questions, it settles that the 80s was clearly the golden age of film. I'm just going to say it. Golden age of film that we could have Mr. Miyagi and Daniel's son still representing in, you know, 2011. So great stuff there. You know, we are in this strong challenge, and I don't know if you know this or not. You need to celebrate if you're doing this. We're past the halfway point. We're past the halfway point. 3 weeks in. 3 weeks under your belt, and hopefully you're growing and being impacted by the stuff you're doing. Cool, cool stuff in this journey. Actually, before we talk about training today, I want to just give you an update. There's some great stories coming out of the 50,000 teammates, other churches around the city that are doing this journey with us, and I wanted to share one of them with you. So there's a church that I would say is certainly more traditional than we are, and they are partners with us in this journey, and a really cool thing happened the first week in their service, in their experience. And so the first week, for those of you who are new, we talked about play. We talked about the fact that one of the ways that God wants to meet us, one of the practices and rhythms he wants in our life are the practices of rest and play. Kind of to kick that off here, we had a big beach volleyball competition. We had big beach balls falling from the ceiling. It was just a lot of fun. And at this church, way more traditional than us, they did the same thing. They did the same thing. They broke out the beach balls, and a miraculous thing happened. There's a man that has been at the church for years, has Alzheimer's disease, and he's far enough progressed that he can't necessarily recognize people. He doesn't recognize his daughter, who faithfully brings him to church every week, and so he's kind of asleep for the experience, but he's there, and she wants him to be there. Well, they start throwing beach balls into the crowd, and would you believe this guy actually woke up from his Alzheimer's disease? He woke up from it, and he looked at his daughter, and he said, "I never thought that God could be so much fun." How incredible is that? This actually happened. This actually happened. I'm not making this up. This actually happened. This actually happened. Incredible stuff. A man who was able to tell his daughter for the first time in months that he loved her and recognized her. Just really cool stuff. So it's amazing what God will do with beach balls, what God will do as we just lean forward in this journey. Another cool thing, another picture for you is this is from our friends in India, who actually stuck one of those Stay Strong stickers on a taxi over there. So you know you've got folks across the other side of the ocean doing this with us. Really cool stuff happening there. There's folks on a trip there that did this. And also I hear that many of the aftercare workers are getting together and they have their own home team and they're going through the Strong Challenge right along with us. So really cool things are happening. You're a part of something bigger than just what's going on the weekend here. And one more thing, we've got an idea that we need your help to execute. And I'm actually thinking the 10 o'clock, I'm actually thinking you guys are going to step up to the plate on this because you guys tend to be very, very engaged. And so here's what we need you to do. We want you to go to strongchallenge.com/media. In the first week, the band sung the Tom Petty song, Won't Back Down. And that was really just a great kickoff. And what we want is to just reflect the community of people doing this. We want as many people as possible to go to strongchallenge.com. Actually, first, record yourself singing that song. That video down at the bottom will guide you through it. If you don't have a singing voice, don't worry about it. You can lip sync it if you want to. But we want as many videos of home teams and individuals singing the lyrics to that song. We've got an idea that we want to execute, but we can't do it if you guys don't put those videos up there. So I'm asking you to do that. Get outside your comfort zone. For some of you, this is right within your comfort zone. You've been waiting for this. So go up there, get your video up there, and we'll see what happens. It'll be really, really cool stuff. So we're in week four, and I would say what we're going to talk about today could have easily been an introduction to the whole Strong Challenge, but I think it's well timed today because we're talking about some unorthodox ways that we can train in the direction of God. We can grow and be strong. You know, you'll never see tires on a football field. We've said that before. You'll never see those tires there, and yet players use tires to train in agility for game time situations. And in the same way, we're talking about challenges and practices, rhythms this week that aren't necessarily things you do all the time, but they are ways to supercharge our growth in unexpected ways. So let's just ask that God would teach us in the rest of this time. God, I'm excited about today. I'm excited about the fun that we've already had and the fun that's yet to come, and also excited about the invitation to train. God, you have a lot to say about training. You have a lot to say about how that forms and shapes our lives spiritually, and I just pray that we would be open to receive it today. And then as we do, we would look like your son, Jesus. Amen. So I broke out the cards a little early because I wanted to see what was in store for this train week. And there's some very interesting ones here. So the first is you can choose to skip a meal this week. You can choose to skip a meal this week. You know, why is it that when we do something like skip a meal, this ancient practice of fasting, It actually builds a spiritual capacity in us in unique ways. We're going to explore that. That's one of the things you can explore this week. One is enjoy a quiet drive. This is about turning off the radio, the iPod, whatever it is, and just spending time in silence. And again, this is a rhythm and a practice that people have used for years and years to connect with God deeply. Another option is to disconnect, to unplug from the many ways that we're technologically connected or informationally connected, and spend some time in a practice of solitude, a practice of dialing back from people, dialing back from those prompts and those stimuli, and just allowing ourselves to be in a place to just be with God. That's another option we have this week. Repurpose a love song. There's another challenge that you can choose this week. And this is about worship. This is about recognizing that those lyrics that oftentimes are in love songs are things that God would say to us. They're things that God would want us to know about how he feels about us. Not all love songs, but some love songs are exactly what God would say about us. And so the challenge to repurpose a love song and make that something that just reminds you of how God thinks about you or maybe how you feel about him. Another one, get examined. This is the practice of confession. The practice of actually opening up our lives and saying there's stuff in there that I'm not proud of. And when we verbalize that to God through prayer, when we verbalize that to other people, there's something powerful that can happen. It can change us and it can build capacity in our lives. Another one is you can learn to suffer this week. You can learn to suffer. Suffering in the Bible is never seen as a horrible thing. It's always a tool that God uses to grow us. It's not something we need to go out and look for. But it's something that God definitely uses to mature us and build capacity in our lives. You know, with this whole idea of learning to suffer, I was part of the team that was helping to create some of these challenges. And we thought for a while, you know, how could we actually not just have people learn about suffering from reading the Bible? You're going to read about Job if you do that challenge, and he's a guy who went through some suffering, and just reflect on what we can learn. But we said, what would it be like to actually inject a challenge that causes people to actually suffer? We thought about that, and we were like, man, you know, how do you do that in a way that's not mean or sadistic? And then we actually thought, you know, this is going to be a journey that's happening in the fall of 2011. And a lot of people here are Ohio State Buckeyes fans for football, and you're suffered enough already. So we figured you're going to have places this, although, hey, but they won last night. Beat Wisconsin. Solid win. And they actually have a winning season. They're not doing that bad. But, you know, we just thought about it and went on to other things. But these are ways. These are unorthodox things. What I just read are very unorthodox things. Probably not things that you would think about incorporating every week into your spiritual rhythms, into how you grow to be strong. And yet, what we see is these are exactly the ways that Jesus grew in strength. You know, very interesting. Jesus, one of the cool things about Crossroads is we all don't have the same views of who Jesus was. You know, this is a place where it's very open for people to challenge. I don't know if I believe what the Bible says about Jesus. And this is a safe place to do that. You know, but even though we might have different points of view on who he was, whether he was God's son or not, there's probably some things about Jesus we would all agree on. And one of them is, if you think about history, he was the greatest man that ever lived. I mean, think about who has had more influence during their life and certainly beyond their life than Jesus. I mean, influencing people still to this day, just an incredible man of influence. The other thing about Jesus I think we could all agree on is he had a level of capability in his life for the things that mattered most. That is unrivaled. You know, I'm always struck by this when I think about, even though other faiths may have a different view of Jesus, other religions have a different view of Jesus, they don't necessarily think he was the Son of God, but the through line in all of them is he was a virtuous person. None of them questioned his virtue. None of them questioned his wisdom. Jesus had a strong life. He had a strong life. And I'll just say, I personally believe he actually was God in the flesh. I personally believe he was fully God, and yet he was also fully man. And as that combination, even Jesus grew in strength. Even Jesus grew capacity in unique ways. Hebrews 5:8 says this about Jesus. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered. He learned obedience from what he suffered. Jesus walked through difficult things, and he learned obedience. It built capacity in his life that he would not have had otherwise if he hadn't walked through in his humanity suffering and difficult and challenged. And this is Jesus modeling a spiritual principle that is true with training. And this is kind of the key takeaway for today. Jesus was willing to forego momentary pain. He was willing to deal with momentary pain for long-term benefit. And as we talk about training, particularly these kinds of unorthodox ways, this is the working definition we're using. Training is the practice of putting off some good now for greater good later. It's the practice of putting off some good now for greater good later. This is what Jesus did. This is what every strong person does in their life. They train in a way that puts off some good now for a greater good later. You know, the Bible flies in the face of the great man theory. There's a great man theory that says whenever someone is strong, whenever someone has an impact in the world, they probably were just born with the ability to do that. They probably just had unique talents and there was a unique timing thing that just made them this great person. And the Bible flies in the face of that and says, no. Every great man is a trained man. Every great woman is a trained woman. In that way, the book Outliers kind of reflects this biblical principle, the principle of 10,000 hours. You put in 10,000 hours, there's a level of greatness that's achieved. The Bible tends to say, not by trying hard do we get strong, but we actually get strong when we put ourselves in exercises and experiences and practices that build capacity in us that we don't have right now. Every great man is a trained man. You know, this week we did study. And one of the challenges we all shared was study in three steps. How many people remember that card, study in three steps? Well, this is the verse that we all spend some time thinking about. It's a great verse on training from 1 Corinthians chapter 9. It says, do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. You know, when I think about studying a passage, I tend to look at what are the words that are popping out for me. And in this passage, the words that popped out were actually two words, strict training. Strict training. Paul, the guy who wrote this, is talking about a time when people were familiar with Olympic athletes. And what they would do is they would enter into a strict training process. There were specific things they could do and couldn't do to train. There were specific foods they could eat and could not eat to train. And he's saying in the same way, spiritual training is strict. It costs you something. There's a level of engagement needed to actually experience the kind of strength that comes from spiritual training. And he's saying when we do that, we're doing it because there's a prize at the end. So I was looking at some other verses this week that deal with this concept of training. One is Hebrews 12:11. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. When we are disciplined, we are in a process of training. When you're disciplining your kids, it's not something you're doing to them, it's something you're doing for them. And in that process of training, it's painful. It's painful. The word that popped for me in this one is painful. There is a pain, there is a challenge associated with this. You're probably feeling that as you've had to bend your life, change your schedule, adjust your time, be in groups with people and engage in ways that maybe you weren't prepared to. This is the way training works. There is a level of challenge associated with it. And yet, 1 Timothy 4, another verse, talks about the benefit of this. It says, have nothing to do with godless myths or old wives' tales. These are the things that were distracting people in this time from following Jesus. Rather, train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. Again, this idea of training is all throughout the scripture. And the thing that pops for me in this verse was that godliness has value for all things. Godliness is living a life in the direction of Jesus, following in the footsteps of Jesus. And when we train in that way, it produces results. It produces results. Think about a time in your life when you've been well trained. Think about a time when you've been well trained. You know, some of us, maybe we were athletes, and we can think about the training regimen that went into getting good at that sport. And we look at that and say, you know what, that was strict. That was strict. There were some choices about what you could do and couldn't do that you had to abide by because the coach put those on you. It was strict. Maybe you were in the military. Maybe that's where your training was, boot camp, basic training. I mean, these are things that are challenging. They're not necessarily easy. There's pain associated with it. And yet, whether it's athletics or military, for if it's been in art that you've been trained, if you've been trained in a business setting for the job that you do, if you think about that training, it worked. It worked. It produced a capability in you that you didn't have at the beginning of that training process. You know, for me, I think about my first job at P&G, and I was very well trained for that job. I came out of school as a finance major and was ready to jump into business and jumped into their sales organization and thought, you know what, I'd be talking business stuff and doing business dynamics. And yet my first job was being a pharmaceutical sales representative. And what that meant is that my job was going to be to go into doctor's offices, people who have a lot of training, and talk science with them. And you got to understand, there was a reason I chose business as my major, right? You know, I was trying to avoid those classes. I was trying to avoid that conversation. And yet here I am. My first job required a lot of training, and I did train. I was trained well. That training looked like getting right back into study, breaking out the note cards again. Thought I was done with those after graduation? Nope, it just begun again. Doing those note cards, reading, reviewing, memorizing things, being able to share again what I had learned. And there was, you know, time committed to that. And I remember making choices about what I could and couldn't do on the weekends because I had to get prepared to come to Cincinnati for 6 weeks of training. And, you know, over time, there was 6 weeks of training here. And when I was here, it was sun up to sun down. You were doing something, a lot of role plays, a lot of practice. And I'm learning things about anatomy and physiology, how the body works, how different functions and systems in the body happen. You know, I'm learning about disease states and what happens when the body doesn't work right. I can answer any question you have about heartburn. I think I'm pretty much an expert on heartburn after that. You know, I had to learn these things. I had to learn all kinds of pharmacology and what happens when these drugs hit the body and how do these chemicals interact. What drugs can you take it with? What drugs can't you take it with? What are the side effects that come along with it? I had to know all these kinds of things. And then I had to learn the selling side of it. How do you influence a physician practice? And what does that look like? And who are the different players? What do they do? How do you work to build relationships? And I had to learn all this stuff and practice all this stuff. And it was costly. It was strict. But you know what? It worked. It worked. I was able to go into physician offices and have a very confident conversation based on the training that I had received. And this is the way it is with all kinds of training. It doesn't matter what it is. And the same is true spiritually. And so this week, we're looking at some of the unorthodox ways that we train, some of the unorthodox things that build capability in our lives. And I know for me, there's a friend that I have that really is a role model in this area. His name is Todd. And Todd is a guy who is nationally known and nationally sought out because of the capability he has in the area of creative production, in the area of helping creatives continue to deliver at a high level. Right now, I think he's in Nova Scotia speaking with an organization. He goes all over the country. This is a guy who has written a book that is growing in terms of people being interested in what he has to say. He has one of the fastest growing podcasts in the business segment in iTunes. This is a guy who is having an increasing level of influence. And one of the things that I love about him is there is a rhythm and a practice to his life. He is engaged in a lot of these unorthodox ways, and that has produced results and in many ways prepared him for the platform he has right now. And so Todd is, he's an athlete in this area. He is a well-trained athlete. And we're going to take a look at his story to understand from his life, how can we incorporate these unorthodox practices like fasting and silence and solitude in a way that brings power to bear in our everyday life. And as we watch that video, we're going to take up an offering. So if this is your first time here, super excited that you're here. This is the time when those of us who call Crossroads home give back financially to fuel what God is doing in this community. And one of the things that money pays for is free materials for the Strong Challenge. And so if you're brand new today, it's not too late to engage in this challenge. You can go to the Info Center. You can get a deck of cards so you can do some of these challenges this week. You can get plugged into a home team that's meeting right here on site. And all that happens because of the generosity of regular folks. And so we're going to take up an offering. Our volunteers are going to come down with a disc. And if you're brand new, again, just let that disc pass you right on by. And let's listen to Todd.
Several years ago, we were remodeling our house, and we were putting a garage on the side and a room on the back of our house, and there was this perfect little square corner behind the garage right next to the room we were building that looked like, to me, a perfect candidate to build a home office, right? It was a perfect little space for it. And so I talked with my wife about it, and I said, you know, I need a place where I can go and be by myself and be in solitude and reflect and think. And I think I even used the phrase, I want to do my life's work there, right? I wanted a place to do my life's work. And so we built a little home office. And now that's become a place where I go to be alone, to think, to study. I have a nice sofa in there. I have whiteboards on the wall. For me, it's the place where I go and I'm alone and I can be by myself and I can reflect and think and close the door. It's kind of like physical exercise in a way. I feel like these study times and these prayer times, these alone times, these times of solitude, in a lot of ways, they increase my capacity to be able to deal with what's going on in my world. And so as I go through my day, these practices provide an anchor for me in a lot of ways to help me as I go through the instability that is everyday life. And they stretch my mind and give me increased capacity. emotionally, spiritually, mentally to deal with things. And when I don't have that, I do notice that I'm not as capable in a lot of ways. There have been a couple of incredibly profound moments where I've heard things from God. One of them specifically relates to the struggle I was having with my path and where I was headed in life, and am I really doing the thing I'm supposed to be doing? You know, I was kind of in a place where I was striving to try to probably do more than I should have been doing, and was not necessarily being present with my family like I should have. And one of the things that I heard most profoundly was, if you go to your grave an anonymous, unaccomplished man, but your kids know that they're loved, I will count you as a great person. It deeply affected me and really changed the way that I saw my relationship with my kids and with my family and my responsibility to them. And I mean, I've always been a present father. I've always been around and I've always been involved with my kids, but I don't think I ever really saw that as the primary thing that I was supposed to be about. I didn't hear an audible voice, but it was as clear as day, and that is the exact verbiage, the exact language that was used, and it was like a bell had rung in my soul. That's what it felt like. It was just deeply resonant, and I knew without a doubt that I had just heard from God.
That's good. Whose idea was this?
It's really changed my understanding of what it means to be a father, because I've spent time with the father being fathered, and that really makes a difference.
You like it? Well, do you want this outlined the same way, Ethan?
I've learned over time that I need a lot of time to process things. If I take 2 hours to pray about something, you know, if I take 2 hours to stop and think about something, I will probably come to a conclusion at the end of that 2 hours, because that's the amount of time that I've given myself to think about it. But 9 times out of 10, it's probably going to be some forced decision that I made because I had 2 hours to think about it. I've realized that in order to really get into thinking about something, I typically need a couple of days to really think about it, including some time to sleep on it and all of that. So whenever we face a big decision in our life, I tend to go on a prayer retreat. I'll go away for a couple of days. I go to Oxford, up to Miami University, where my wife and I went to school. I spend a lot of time walking and thinking, praying, asking God to meet me, and I've had some really cool experiences. I had one when I very clearly heard God say, it is now time to leave your job and go do something else. And I was listening to some worship music. I sat down on a bench, and as the music was crescendoing and there was, the chorus was crescendoing, there was a fountain that wasn't very far off, and I felt a breeze suddenly pick up, and it blew this mist from the fountain, and the mist hit me at just this precise moment in the song as the song was building, and the wind continued to whip and whip and whip. And then as the song died down to the end, the wind went away, and it had not been a windy day. And I was sitting just in the place where it would like blow that mist on me. And I felt like, I know from my experiences that, you know, and the times when I've had things like that happen to me, I believe firmly this was God at that moment affirming that he was with me and giving me insight into what he wanted me to do. That was his way of saying, I'm here with you right now. You're choosing to spend time with me, and I'm choosing to spend time with you. And what I think a lot of times can be passed off as coincidence, when given context, when given enough time, suddenly become very meaningful, because you're not rushing on to the next thing. Instead, you're able to stop and think and process, okay, what's really going on here? My wife and I were considering adopting, and we were kind of at an impasse. She really wanted to adopt. It wasn't that I didn't want to adopt. I just was feeling a little bit of the pressure of having 2 kids already. Our second had just been born. Work was pretty intense, and there was a lot going on. And I just felt like maybe this isn't the right time for us to adopt. I'm not opposed to it in principle, just maybe not the right time. And she was pretty convinced that God had told her this is the right thing for us to do. So when I went away, she fasted. I fasted during the part of the day that we were considering this issue. And she fasted while I was away, and came to a point on that retreat where I felt like God wasn't saying a lot to me one way or the other about it, but he kept pointing me back to scripture where, you know, we are commanded to take care of widows and orphans. And he was saying, this is sufficient for you. You don't need to hear my voice from heaven telling you to adopt. I already said that this is what I want you to do, and I'm not telling you not to do it. Right up to the end, in a lot of ways, I was following through purely out of obedience. So I had very little emotional investment in this decision. I mean, I was obviously prepared, you know, we're going to bring a daughter into our home and I'm going to love her and, you know, I'm going to be a father. But I wasn't overly emotional about this decision. And the moment that they brought our daughter to us and they put her in my arms, it was just like everything came full circle and it just seemed so right. And I realized the wisdom of God in all of this, knowing that this was the exact right decision for our family. And she has been such a daddy's girl since the beginning. And it's brought out aspects of me and it's brought out things in our marriage that I think would never have come out otherwise. And she's the perfect completion of our family. You know, if it hadn't been for that discipline of the prayer retreat, and if it hadn't been for my wife being willing to go to the point of fasting for this decision, I just don't know that we would have heard so clearly from the Lord that we're just to follow scripture, right? Not to wait for some tremendous sign, but just follow scripture. And we may have never met our daughter.
Rising from the water in front of them is what looked like a wall of steel. Suddenly, the wall.
I think there are a lot of times that God tries to speak to us and we're so busy trying to hear his voice quickly so we can move on to the next thing that we completely miss his voice, because what he really wants to do is be with us. He wants to sit with us and reflect with us. He wants us to show, first of all, that we're willing to bear out and spend time, the time it takes to actually be in relationship and to hear from him. And then sometimes a good ways into that time, we start to really experience his presence. I just don't know that my heart would have been postured to be able to receive truth from God or to recognize that resonant sense when God spoke to me if I hadn't been in those daily practices and disciplines of listening for his voice. So again, doing this very frequently and making a habit of it doesn't mean that I hear from God every single time I do it, but it puts me in a posture to be able to hear from God when he wants to speak to me. And those times have been very powerful.
There's a lot of good stuff. A lot of good stuff there. You know, the through line I see in the story and I see it in Todd's life is these unorthodox practices help him gain traction. He's got traction on the things that matter. He's got traction as a father. He's got traction on priorities, traction on creativity, traction on moving in a direction that was different than where he was headed. And I see that value in his life. And it's the same thing, his willingness to endure in the moment some good that has to be put off for the purposes of a greater good later on. Richard Foster wrote a book called Celebration of Discipline, great book on some rhythms and practices around spirituality. And in that book, one of the statements he says right up front is that superficiality is the curse of our age. Superficiality is the curse of our age. And he talks about the fact that what the world needs is not more gifted people or more intelligent people, but deep people. I love that, because what he's saying is really the only thing that can keep us from the life of strength, the only thing that we need to be willing to do, the only thing that can keep us from it is instant gratification. Instant gratification, superficiality is what can keep us from this life of strength. That's our common enemy this week. What we're training against is we're training our hearts away from instant gratification and training our hearts towards sitting with God and being with God and knowing that that sometimes is a slow burn, a slow process that produces fruit over time. I want to do a quick social experiment, and I just want to say, as I ask you this question, this is a place of grace. This is a place of amnesty. This can be amnesty for people who share a compulsion that I have. How many people are willing to admit that even though it's illegal, you still find yourself texting while driving? How many people are willing to just come? Let's be honest. Let's be honest. Why do we do that? Why do we do that? Actually, the neurologists are telling us why we do that. It's actually because we're addicted to what Todd likes to call the ping. We're addicted to the ping. When our phone beeps at us, vibrates at us, when we get a text, when we get an email, it does something to us neurologically. It actually releases dopamine into your brain. It literally makes you high. It literally makes you high. And we are hooked on the ping. And that is because we're such an instant gratification society, such an instant gratification culture. We are instant gratification people. And one of the things that gets trained in us, gets trained out of us when we engage in these unorthodox ways, like skipping a meal and those kinds of things, is it trains us away from instant gratification. Because here's the thing, instant gratification leads to distraction. Break that word apart. It leads to distraction. It leads us to lose traction in the things that matter most. I want to give you two motivating reasons for engaging this week. You know, the cards are the how. What I want to tell you is two whys, why we should train this way. It builds two unique capabilities in our life. First, it builds the capacity to say no. It builds in us the capacity to say no. You know, as a father of two boys, there's a lot that I want to teach my kids during the time they're under our roof and even beyond that. And man, one of them that's really high on the list is the ability to say no. The ability to exercise self-control, the ability to not say no, to not say yes to lesser things in their life. I want to teach them to say no. And you know what? God, as a father, actually has the same desire and heart for us. Look at how this is explicitly stated in Titus 2. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. Strong people have the ability to say no. Strong people actually have a capacity that's been refined and formed and strengthened over time to say no a lot, to say no to a lot of lesser things, to say no to distraction, to say no to things that are not going to point them in the direction of knowing God more, not going to point them in the direction of being strong in whatever it is that they're running after. How many people have watched this show called Man vs. Food? I dig that show. It's kind of wild, you know. For those of you who haven't watched the show, this guy, Adam, basically goes around the country, and he takes on all kinds of eating challenges. So, like, he would go to Quaker Steak and Lube and order the whole, you know, whole basket of their hottest wings and see if he can finish them. I guess he was actually in Cincinnati recently, and he ate a one-pound Reuben sandwich at Izzy's. Golly. So, I mean, this is the kind of stuff this guy does all over the country. And what's interesting is, I dig that show, but if I'm honest, I'm actually in the middle of my own personal episode of Man vs. Food right now. I really am. I'm really in my own personal episode. You know, one of the challenges this week is to skip a meal. And I'll just be honest, my first inclination when I saw that was, why don't I practice skipping a card? How about if I skip that card and I don't have to skip a meal? You know, I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to do it. And what I realize now, and I'm realizing this more and more, you know, food is an issue for me. It's a spiritual issue. And it's a place where I struggle to say no. I'll just say it. I'm addicted to fast food. I'm addicted to fat. I'm addicted to sugar. I'm addicted to all kinds of food that tastes really good going down, but it's not necessarily good for me in the long term. And the challenge for me is to recognize I can't try my way harder to this. I can't try my way harder. But what God wants to do is actually train me in this area, because there's a level of physical capability I will not have if I don't learn and build the capability to say no to food. And so for me, I just recognize this is the way that God wants to train me. He wants to build capability to say no. And it's not just about food. There's a lot of good things that God wants to teach us to say no to. What is that for you? What's maybe an area where you need to say no? Strong people have the capacity to say no. But here's the great thing. They do it because it also cultivates the capacity to say yes. To say yes. And not yes to everything. Not yes to any old thing, but yes to the burning yes inside of us. You know, I believe God created all of us with a burning yes. I think that you're here because you have a burning yes to know this God. If God can be known, if you can have a relationship with him, that's a burning yes. And you're saying, I'm willing to bend my life. I'm willing to spend some time training in the direction of understanding who this God is and what his role in my life might be. That's a burning yes. God has given us a burning yes to have great families. God has given some of you a burning yes to have a great marriage. That's maybe the first time your family has seen a great marriage. Maybe you don't come from that, but there's a burning yes to have a strong marriage. Many of us have children, and God has given you a burning yes to be a great mother, to be a great father. That's a burning yes inside of us. Many of us have creative gifts, and God has given you a burning yes to run after that creative gift, to develop the skills needed, to get the education needed, so that you can reflect in the image of God beautiful creativity that can impact the hearts and the minds of other people. You know, many of us God has given us a burning yes for a business. We've got a business concept that's going to bring jobs, it's going to provide resources, that's going to be bringing the best of who we are to bear in the world. And that is a burning yes that God has put inside of us. And yet, if we're going to run after that, if we're going to be strong enough to do that, we need the capacity to say no so that we have the capacity for the greater yes in our lives. And this is what God wants for us. And we see this in the life of Jesus. Again, let's take a look at Hebrews 12:2. Fascinating verse. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Jesus is the author of the strong life, is what this verse is saying. And I don't know about you, but if someone's going to be training me, I would like to know that they can actually execute what I want to execute. And what this says is Jesus walked through this life strong, so he's the author of that kind of life. He's also the perfecter. He's also a coach. He also wants to encourage us in the direction of living this kind of life. Now, here's what's interesting to me. I love the rest of this verse. I think all of us, again, we may have different perspectives on Jesus, but we've all heard that Jesus died on a cross. But what this verse really gets to is, why did he do that? Why he died on the cross? It says, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let me just sit on this for a second. This is a fascinating verse to me. Because what this says is the reason Jesus was willing to endure the difficulty of the cross is because there was a burning yes inside of him. There was joy set before him beyond the cross. The burning yes that he would be able to reconcile us in relationship to God. And he loved us so much that that was a burning yes that motivated him to the shame of the cross, the torture of the cross, because there was a burning yes. And also, there was another burning yes in Jesus when he went to the cross. And that was that after that, he would be able to, as the perfect son, sit down at the right hand, the place of authority, next to his Father God, and say, I did exactly what you asked me to do. And I ran through this race, and I did it with excellence. And Jesus had a burning yes. And if you have a burning yes, it's amazing. It's amazing how it can help you eliminate distraction in your life. God wants to cultivate in us this burning yes. And he wants us to be able to run after it. And that's why he invites us to train in these unorthodox ways, so we build the capacity to say no, so we can have the capacity for our burning yes. A burning yes to know God. A burning yes to finish well. A burning yes to live strong. A burning yes to reverse a generational pattern in your family. A burning yes to actually start that business. A burning yes to actually have that creative thing be expressed out of you. A burning yes to live a life of wholeness, to live in truth. That's a burning yes God's put inside of you, and he wants to build the capability for you to lead a life of strength in that direction. You know, this weekend in Cincinnati, we are remembering a man who, in my opinion, really reflects what it looks like to live your whole life for a burning yes. You know, this weekend we're remembering Reverend Fred Shuttlesworth, who was an incredible icon in our city, incredible fighter for justice, and just an incredible man, incredible man. I mean, this is a man for 89 years of his life. For 89 years of his life, he ran after justice. He ran after freedom, and he did it in an incredible way. He did it in a strong way. Congressman John Lewis said this about him. I love this quote. He said, Reverend Fred Shuttlesworth is the last of a kind. When others did not have the courage to stand up, speak up, or speak out, Fred Shuttlesworth put all he had on the line to end segregation. Fred Shuttlesworth is on the left in that picture. The man in the middle is Ralph Abernathy, and I think we all know the man on the right, Martin Luther King. He was one of the three men who was behind the civil rights movement, right here in Cincinnati. Right here in Cincinnati, behind the civil rights movement. This is a man. Fred Shuttlesworth is a man who was bombed twice. I'm not talking about they bombed the building where they thought he'd be. He was in the building, got bombed twice. This is a man who was beaten to the point of unconsciousness simply because he wanted to enroll his children in an integrated school after the law was passed. And he was beaten to the point of unconsciousness by an angry crowd who did not want to see that happen. His wife was stabbed in that incident. This is a man who, by his own count, was jailed more than 35 times in his life. So the question is, how did he have the inner fortitude? How was he strong enough to, for 89 years, still run after justice, still run after equality, still run after rights? And the question is, he was a great man, yes, but can I tell you, Fred Shuttlesworth was a trained man. This is a man who was a Baptist minister who had trained himself in understanding the Jesus of the Bible, trained his heart in the direction of Jesus. He was a follower of Jesus, but he was also a man who was trained to go after justice in a nonviolent way. You know, very fascinating to think about the civil rights movement. We've all seen the films on PBS or wherever we've seen them. We've seen the black and white films of people marching, of people singing. And what's interesting is all of those people went through extensive training before they ever stepped out to march, before they ever stepped out to do any of that. They all went through hours and hours of lectures on nonviolence as a philosophy, why this is the way we're going to go after this struggle, how to actually engage in direct action without using violence. They all were trained in that. They would actually do role plays. They would do role plays of, what do you do when they break out the fire hose? What do you do when they break out the dogs? They would train for this. One of the neat things for me is, you know, we hear the songs that they would sing as they marched, We Shall Overcome, or whatever the other songs were. And there was training even behind that, because what that said to them is, even in the midst of melee, as things were going crazy, as long as I hear other people singing these songs, there's solidarity. I know I'm connected to other people who are choosing not to engage in violence, but instead are standing firm for what we believe in. These are people who were trained. They were trained in the burning, yes. And people like Fred Shuttlesworth changed the nation. The burning yes in that man changed the nation. And this is what God invites us into when he invites us into these unorthodox training approaches. He is trying to build in us a capability for something that is strong. Build in us a capability for something that is beyond where we are right now. So I want to encourage you this week to train hard. Train in this direction. I want to encourage you to run after these challenges. And I want to tell you, and I hope you hear me very clearly right now, this week is not about earning God's approval. None of this journey is about earning God's approval. Listen, God loves you if you skip every card. He loves you if you skip no cards, and he doesn't love you any more or any less if you're in either of those categories. This is not about earning God's approval, but I'll tell you what it is about. It is making a choice to go after strength. So the question is, do you want to be strong? Do you want to be strong? Training always means trade-offs. Training always means trade-offs, but it also produces results. It also produces results, and one of the results it produces is a connection with our coach. We get to identify with Jesus in a unique way when we submit ourselves to the same training process that built strength in Jesus. And it produces results. 1 Timothy 4:8, I love how this verse ends. Train yourself to be godly, for physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. Let me tell you about some of the present life promises that come as we train in this way over time. The Bible describes these promises as the fruit of the Spirit, and it's things that money can't buy. As we train our hearts in this direction, it produces love, patience, peace, gentleness, goodness, kindness, self-control, faithfulness in our lives. But not only that, it produces wisdom, grace, perspective, power, impact, insight. And these are things that money can't buy, and these are the things that make us strong. And God wants to give you that benefit right now. You don't have to wait for that. He wants you to experience that right now. And so he invites you into this training process. You know, I haven't done P90X myself, but people who have told me about a saying that Tony Horton, who put it together, says often, keep pressing play. I think that's great. What he's saying is, hey, you know what? Today you might only get done 7 minutes of the hour workout. That's okay. Tomorrow, wake up and press play and go at it again. And God is saying the same thing to us. The motivation, the encouragement this week is that we have a coach, we have a God who is saying, hey, keep pressing play. Keep pressing play. Grow in these areas. God wants to meet you in these areas this week. He wants to meet you there. So I want to leave you with some motivation from our coach, some motivation of why we want to grow in this direction. Let's go back to Hebrews again. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Jesus is the champion. And he's also the coach. And the coach is saying to you this week, keep pushing play. Keep pushing play. Joshua 1:9, this is directly from the mouth of God. And this is a promise you can take for this week. It says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Hey, I want you to know, wherever you go with the cards this week, God is with you. Wherever you go, God is with you. If these cards take you to places of frustration, if they take you to places of challenge, if they take you to places of great success, if they take you to places of clarity, they take you to places of confidence, wherever you go this week with these challenges, God is with you. And he's saying, keep pushing play. Be strong be courageous. We can finish this journey strong. We're halfway there, and we got 3 good weeks ahead of us. And God is encouraging us to train in this direction, to put off some good now for a greater good later, so that we can be strong. Let's pray. God, I want to be motivated by you and by the opportunity to know you more as I lean into these challenges this week, not by performance and not by fear. And so, God, I just pray that we would see the opportunity you put in front of us to learn more about who you are, more about the power and capability you want to build into our lives as we train in these unique ways this week. And God, I just thank you. I thank you for this journey. I thank you for the unique ways that is stretching and growing me. And I'm excited about what's yet to come in the next 3 weeks. In Jesus' name, amen.
Chuck, you were talking about training a lot in the last 40 minutes.
I mentioned that word a couple times.
Yeah. You did. I noticed. It was good. I've been doing a little training myself.
What's that?
My wife talked me into taking spinning classes, which actually has been great. But like as you're talking, you're talking about spiritual disciplines. Like I feel like the last 2 weeks, which I've done it 6 times now. Mm-hmm. Man, if you're gonna try this, get the cycling shorts. It's important.
Good work.
The padded
Good
cycling
work.
Shorts.
Padded. Cycling shorts. Got it. Okay.
Because that first one's a doozy. But like all the things you're talking about, like I have a very natural experience to help me understand some of these supernatural changes that you're talking about.
Yeah.
But I'm already seeing the evidence of being stretched, and it's like I hate riding a bike without a motor, mm-hmm. let alone riding a bike without a motor that doesn't go anywhere. It just seems like a total waste of time. But I actually feel stronger, and I'm finding I have muscles I didn't know about.
Yeah.
I sort of like reach down.
That's right.
Ow.
Yeah.
So.
But there is a capability that comes from that.
Absolutely.
And, that you don't get.
And there's like, once my body knows that there's a need, like it starts to change. And when that need is consistently presented to me, it's forced to change, and it does it naturally. And I feel like that's the part God does. Like we show up and we meet him there.
Yeah.
And then he does the changing.
That's good.
So anyway.
That's good.
We wrote this song, we said it last week, we wrote this song to be out of this Joshua 1:9 verse, to be sort of like an anthem. Yeah. And I know, like, for as much great stuff as you say, sometimes melodies help these things stick in my head.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
We were talking about this. I mean, how many people have done spinning? A lot of people. Can you imagine doing a spinning class without music? And that's the way this works. These songs become refrains that keep us moving forward. You're absolutely right. Mm-hmm.
So, to that end, stand up, put on your cycling shorts. Just kidding. Don't. So stick around. We have one more thing after this song. We're going to sing this together as like we're halfway through and we're kicking butt. And if you leave, you lose.
1, 2.
In a world that's weak and passive, in a world that's weak and passive, searching for a place to stand, 1,000 different voices shouting empty words, hollow commands. There's a longing deep inside for a taste that satisfies, not just quenching pangs of hunger, but to fuel this passion growing. But in all, hope is what I need. So I'll cling to my last breath, these words. Be strong, take courage. Thank you. will I stand in silence. No more will I stand in silence. No more will I step aside. Your veins like fire, but no hope is what I need. So I'll cling to my last breath these words. Be strong, take courage. Don't live in fear. Your God's not distant. Is the call of her that bids our hearts to wait. Unstoppable is the waterfall of the truth we now embrace. Unshakable is the call of her that bids our hearts to wait. Be strong, take courage. Don't live.
Before you leave, let me give you a training plan for this week. This week is a little bit different. So the first thing you're going to do is get in those train cards and pick four of them. Pick four challenges to do. You can skip a meal. You can do whatever works for you. Next thing is we all have a common challenge this week, a prayer experience. That's a downloadable way for you to spend some time connecting with God uniquely in your context. You know, every year in the journey, we've done a prayer experience, and usually you come to Oakley and there's prompts and different things that you can walk through to just help you engage with God. But what we said is, since this is a year where we're focusing on training, we want to bring the prayer experience into your everyday life. We want it to be something that's repeatable, something that's portable, something you can do at a time that works for you, and you can do it over and over again to train our hearts in this direction. So I'm asking you to carve out 35 to 40 minutes this week to download the MP3 from strongchallenge.com. You can also, if you don't have access to downloading it on a computer, there's a handful of CDs available at the Audio Center. And even if you don't have a CD, we printed out some of the script. So we've got you covered, and I'm just asking you to carve out 35 to 40 minutes to engage with God. It's really going to be a combination of a time of solitude, really a time of silence, some time to listen, some time to confess. It really will tie together a lot of the individual challenges you can do this week. And I'm encouraging you to do that so we can all get strong together. I'll tell you what I'm going to do this week. I'm actually going to do a superset. So I'm going to pick a lunch hour this week, and I'm going to do my prayer experience as I skip a meal. So I don't walk away from that challenge. So whatever works for you, do it. But this is going to be a great week. We are in the home stretch. Train strong so we can be strong. Thanks, everybody, for coming.